In a time where social justice organizations are under attack, we bring you Dear Rad Ops, a mini-series advice vlog about live questions on the minds of movement operations workers. We'll be covering a few key questions that have come up again and again during many of our conversations with movement organizations this summer and fall of 2025. For each question, we've invited an operations worker to offer advice and tools for troubleshooting. This mini-series kicks off the Rad Ops podcast, a dialogue-based tool that supports organizations assessing and discussing the possibilities and limitations of putting liberatory values into practice.
Now, here's one thing we want to say off the bat. For these kinds of questions, there is no one solution. Each organization or scenario deserves its own assessment based on the particulars of the organization's membership, strategy, capacity, etc. This mini-series will offer troubleshooting guidance and resources for organizations to find their own answers. Sorry, not sorry, we don't have the clean-cut answers to complex issues. But we do believe that you can find the solutions in dialogue with your teams with grounded assessments of the conditions and trade-offs of each scenario. You'll be hearing more from us, so we decided for this introduction, we're going to interview each other to share a bit more about who we are and why we're doing this RadOps project. Yeshna, will you kick us off and tell folks more about who we are?
Yes. So 15 years ago, we were both starting operations type jobs at national alliances, and we were both tasked with building up the operations of these alliances that were scaling at a rapid pace. We wanted to run the operations with liberatory values and wanted thought partnership and peer feedback or advice from each other. And I'm so grateful for that we had each other.
Seriously, I call it phone a friend because we often were reaching out to each other for questions about like stuff we were grappling with. So for example, hey, Yeshna, do you know any community-oriented interpreters or food vendors or childcare workers in this area that were doing the program? Or what decisions did you make in your organization's policies around this or that?
That's right. We got to pulse check things off of each other that we were putting into place. We were really building as we went, and there was really no clear roadmap. We've each talked and worked with hundreds of people in left movement organizations over the past two decades. And recently, we've been compiling reflections and lessons into a framework that includes principles, resources, all for our movements to engage with, including a RadOps lineage timeline.
Yeah, and this lineage timeline, I'm so excited about it. It's a passion project. I've been learning so much from Yeshna. So speaking of the lineages, can you share a few of the lineages that you draw from, Yeshna, when you're doing this kind of work?
For sure. There's so many. Right off, I want to talk about Bayard Rustin, of course. We know about Dr. King. We know about Malcolm X, respect for both. And there's so many behind the scenes people of the civil rights movement that we are only recently learning about, such as Bayard Rustin, who was a primary operational architect of the 1963 March on Washington and the Montgomery bus boycott. Part of his behind the scenes work was because of his operations and infrastructure work, and part of it was because of homophobia, and both things should be named. Other lineages I draw from are what's near and dear to my heart of the domestic worker movement. That's where I learned about visibilizing invisible workers and helped shape the framework that we're using for RadOps today. How about you, Shaw? What lineages do you draw from in this work?
You know, the first examples that come to my mind are from underground movements outside of state structures. So not from nonprofits or a lot of the structures we use today, but movements that were looking for existing infrastructure that they could repurpose for what they need. So the Underground Railroad is one of the most well-known examples, a vast network of people playing many different roles, enslaved Black folks risking their lives, and others providing safe houses to get them freed from slavery. Another one is from the Salvadoran revolutionary left. During the Civil War, there was a radio, an underground radio called Radio Venceremos, and they used barbed wire fences that were existing in a network across the country already to broadcast their radio so they couldn't be detected.
I love those examples. Thank you. And I want us to take a step back, just as we're taking a step back into history. Also, let's take a step back into explaining more, what do we mean when we say rad ops? What does that mean?
Well, rad ops is short for radical operations, and it's basically about running liberatory organizations in an unjust world, finding the ways that we can be liberatory with each other while we navigate the constraints of racialized, gendered capitalism, heteropatriarchy, and rising fascism.
That's right. And included in that, operations questions are important, important to vision, important to strategy. Details matter in these things. So for example, operations questions could be on a smaller scale, like who will be preparing and serving the food for participants at a gathering? Or at a larger scale, like what are the implications of setting up this organization as a nonprofit versus as a business? So those are some questions. How about you? Do you have any examples?
Yeah, there's so many. I guess the other two I would name, you know, one is about organizational culture. How are people communicating with each other as they work together? And another is about how we're organizing and safeguarding the data that we're using to track the engagement of our communities. And speaking of safeguarding our movement, can you say a little bit about why RadOps now?
Yes. I think RadOps can help us make our organizations more resilient and more durable during these times. We believe that by practicing and embodying these principles, you'll strengthen your teams and your organization when pressure arises. This is to be able to meet the moment.
That's right. Because as folks probably know, as operations workers, we are responsible for implementing the visionary ideas of our organizations. And we're often called upon to tend to the details as well as the big vision. You know, we work at like the level of the trees or then even like the leaves and the bark on the trees. So we also need to like zoom out to work at the level of the entire forest and often even beyond the forest to like think what's further ahead.
That's right. We can also think about operations as reproductive labor and caregiving through the life cycle of an organization. So when we're doing collective organization work, we're called to care for a whole ecosystem, that whole forest. Some of it is planting the seeds, and some of it is tending to and maintaining the garden of an organization, making sure it has the tools for resilience and for durability.
And then one thing I want to say that I think is extremely, especially important in this moment is that part of that caregiving approach needs to include us loosening our grip on exactly how things need to go or how they need to grow and really letting the organization evolve when it needs to, whether that's through scaling up or scaling back or making pivots.
That's right. Oh, there's so much to say here, but we should start wrapping up now. So my question is, how can listeners continue to engage with this series?
Yeah, there's so much more coming. And in this series, we'll address real questions for operations workers in these times. We might zoom in to the bark and the leaves. We might zoom out to see the whole forest because that's a skill of radical operations folks. And we want to be considering the approach to our organizing from many angles and like making plan A, plan B, plan C to figure out what will best achieve our goals and advance our vision. So to really close us out, Yashna, will you tell folks what resources they can use and how to find them?
For sure. So first, you can visit the resources page on the RADOps Substack for an array of resources on many operations and infrastructure topics. You can also download the RADOps framework, principles, and worksheets to use with your teams, all interactive. And tune back in for each Dear RADOps episodes, which will include discussion questions and resources on each of the topics. And also stay tuned for future podcast episodes next year. And remember,
keep it rad, y'all.
Listeners can find links to the resources we mentioned in the show notes wherever you're watching or listening to this. This series is produced by Josh Elstro with graphic and logo design by Kimmy David and is published in partnership with Convergence Magazine. Music by Tiger Cat, Shah's amazing 10-year-old, with polish by Josh.